This video will show how the July 13th assassination attempt against Donald Trump signifies something extremely significant for America. While being unaware that a bullet was speeding directly for his head, Donald Trump tilted his head less than an inch. This providential head tilt resulted in the bullet striking the outside of his ear instead of hitting Trump directly in the head and killing him.
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
This animation shows that Trump's tiny head tilt saved his life from multiple shots that barely missed direct strikes on his head.
Take a look what happened.
The timing of Trump's head movement, enabling him to escape death, was clearly the result of divine intervention. One could call it a miracle. Various expert snipers have also stated that the shot fired at Trump was an extremely easy one that one would expect to result in his death.
But we have to figure out why something within 200 yards. Think about this, Jesse, 200 yards. That means that an average rifle that holds 1 minute of angle would hold a 2-inch grouping if you just shot it straight off the deck, meaning on a platform. So now you're talking about 160, which is 1.6 inches, is what its grouping capabilities are. The average head is what? 6 by 8, shoulder to shoulder is 20 inches, head to waist is 40 inches, and President Trump's a very large man. This is a shot that within 5 minutes I could teach you to make 9 out of 10 times. So this is divine intervention.
Now, God could have stopped the shooting before it occurred. God could have made sure that the would-be assassin or assassins were arrested before they even pulled the trigger. After all, before the shooting, multiple people pointed out a suspicious man who turned out to be Thomas Crooks to law enforcement officials.
We noticed a guy crawling, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle, absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police are like, huh, what? You know, like they didn't know what was going on. You know, we're like, hey, right here on the roof. We can see him from right here. We see him. You know, he's crawling. And next thing you know, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, why is Trump still speaking? Why have they not pulled him off the stage? I'm standing there pointing at him for, you know, 2-3 minutes. Secret Service is looking at us from the top of the barn. I'm pointing at that roof, just standing there like this. And next thing you know, 5 shots ring out.
However, God allowed this astounding and some would say miraculous series of events to occur and to be captured on video for all the world to see. Why? Why did God allow Donald Trump, arguably the most famous person in the world, to be struck prominently on his right ear, with part of his ear being torn off, yet escape death in this amazing and some would say miraculous manner, which clearly indicates divine intervention? Why would God give this sign to America? I believe that this incident represents something very significant for America as a nation, and that it connects to the biblical account of the betrayal of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before I proceed, note that we're not comparing Donald Trump to Jesus. Rather, we are showing how this event contains, we believe, a biblical message or symbol for America as a nation. First, Trump received a noticeable ear wound. The upper part of his ear was actually torn off, yet he's remarkably fine, with the outcome being described by many as miraculous.
When the bullet whizzed past his head, it tore off the top of his ear, leaving blood streaking across his face.
Talk to you about, with Donald Trump, he recently had part of his ear, shot off.
Oh,
can
yeah.
Can I ask you, what type of surgery is he going to have for that?
Well, that was a very high velocity missile type injury. When that happens to a complicated structure like the ear, it can blow off a huge portion.
Well, it's been a pretty somber mood, right? I mean, my father got shot at. Somebody took off half his ear.
This ear wound reminds one directly of the gospel accounts of what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, in which a servant of the high priest named Malchus had his ear cut off, but Jesus miraculously healed him. Luke 22, quote, "And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said no more of this, and he touched his ear and healed him," end quote. John 18:10 tells us that it was St. Peter who cut off the servant's right ear, and that the servant was named Malchus. Notice that the gospel mentions that it was the servant's right ear. Trump's wound was also to his right ear. This miraculous healing of the servant's ear was the final public miracle of Jesus before his crucifixion and death. A healing of the ear, therefore, is prominently connected to our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. Trump was struck on his right ear with a bullet from a high-powered rifle, with part of his ear being torn off. Blood spilled from his right ear to show everyone that his ear was indeed wounded, yet Trump is fine.
And when you think of it, it was exactly 1 week ago today, almost to the hour, even to the minute. Yeah. Incredible. Incredible. What a day it was. As I said earlier this week, I stand before you only by the grace of Almighty God. That's true. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here.
I believe that the specific location and nature of Trump's wound, which corresponds to a well-known miracle of Jesus, and which Trump received during an astounding preservation of his life that has been seen all over the world and described as miraculous, was meant to show that the saving of Trump's life is to be attributed to no one but Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man. Second, the prominent ear wound, in which part of his ear was actually torn off, is meant to direct our attention to the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, because what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane was a betrayal. It was the most significant betrayal in history. In the garden, Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas, and this led to Jesus' apprehension and death. Since Donald Trump, despite his considerable problems, in fact represents what's left of the legitimate government of America, the conspiratorial opposition to him, which has involved an absurd, years-long political prosecution that has escalated to the recent assassination attempt, is a monumental betrayal of and a de facto coup against America. Many have pointed out that there's no way that the Secret Service would allow a 20-year-old to get on top of a roof from which he could fire directly at Trump from within 200 yards. The fact that this individual, or others if you believe there were other shooters, was able to take such a shot from within such a range indicates, in our opinion, that Trump was definitely betrayed by certain people who purport to work for the United States government but are actually working against it.
As you can see behind me, this is the roof the shooter was on. It is a very low roof, and it is very close to the fairground. I mean, it's right here. The president's stage was right over there, 150 yards or something away. And it's no wonder people could see him, because this roof is low. This building is really close in, and it's totally exposed. I mean, right where I'm standing, there were gobs of people. So it's no wonder that lots of folks saw him. The question is, why didn't law enforcement see him get on the roof? Why didn't they see him on the roof? Why didn't they go up and confront him before he started shooting, or before he got on the roof when he was all in this area? It's so close together, it's hard to understand.
More details coming from a source familiar here who was also in the meeting tells me that about 10 minutes before former President Trump went onto the stage, they had gone from looking at this guy as suspicious to now looking at him as a threat. That is coming from this briefing that the senators were in. They were told that Secret Service had called it in to a center that this guy, they now identified as a threat about 10 minutes before President Trump walked on stage, and they still allowed him to walk onto that stage. I'm told the Secret Service agent in charge there was on the phone with local and state police about the threat while the shooting was taking place. That's huge.
The big thing is this, as you look at the timeline, they had spotted a guy with a rangefinder and a backpack.
Yes.
So they tag somebody, and then they locate him at 5:51. The sharpshooters are alerted at 5:53. President Trump is still allowed to go on stage.
I'm here to tell you why the shooting of President Donald Trump yesterday, without a doubt in my mind, was a planned and coordinated attack on the president inside our government, our local agency, or police force. Here's why. My name is Matthew Murphy, and I am a retired Green Beret, retired from Biz Special Forces Group, but I'm also a level one sniper, which means that I have graduated the highest level of training for snipers that you can do in special operations. There is absolutely no way possible that that kid was able to get up there and take those shots at the president without a lot of internal help. So someone in that local, or some people inside that local police department agency or Secret Service is compromised and is a threat to our president.
Some assert that the audio evidence demonstrates conclusively that there were multiple shooters.
Here's just the first three shots from that video. I haven't done anything, no audio, I haven't done any enhancements. Here's one, two, and three to start. Okay, listen to that again. And one more time. Okay, now let's listen to the next string. Ooh. Yeah. Hear that? So six sounds different to me, but here's an interesting thing. One, two, and three, besides being muffled and further away, it doesn't have echoes. So this is actually critical evidence because you hear that there's echoes coming off. So that also allows us again to analyze where was this gun. But first up, we just have an absolutely different sound between the first three. There's no echo. It's much further away. It's more muffled. It's just not in the same place at all. But these next ones, very different sound, totally different weapons. Okay, full stop. We have two separate weapons. Plus, we have no echoes coming off of the first three. And then we do have echoes coming off of the next set.
That conclusion that there were multiple shooters, which is supported by strong evidence, further indicates that there was a conspiracy, and it makes the preservation of Trump's life even more astounding / miraculous. These facts and others indicate, in our view, that the July 13th attack was a major betrayal / inside job. Hence, similar to what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, the July 13th assassination attempt represented a monumental betrayal, the betrayal of America. Moreover, someone we know named Sean Michael Wilson, a traditional Catholic and friend of our monastery, was present at the Trump rally and seated right behind Trump when the shooting occurred. He's the individual who makes the sign of the cross in this clip. He's also the person in this clip. His eyewitness testimony serves to refute those who falsely claim that the event was staged. No, it was a real shooting.
Hello, my name is Sean Michael Wilson. I'm from the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I was in the audience behind Donald Trump during the attempted assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania. I was about 30 feet behind President Trump when the event occurred. Prior to the event, when President Trump walked onto the stage, I made the sign of the cross so that God would protect him throughout the event in case something were to happen. During the speech, I heard about six or seven shots that sounded like large, loud firecrackers coming from my right. I then heard one to three louder bangs coming from my left. Then I looked and saw Donald Trump being still piled on, and not knowing whether he even was alive or not, I once again made the sign of the cross. Immediately thereafter, he rose up, and the famous image of him shaking his fist at the audience to reassure them that he was all right and to be strong happened. From my perspective, I couldn't see him from the front, but from the back, he had clear streaks of reddish-pinkish across his blonde hair from his right ear all across the back of his head. And I do believe that this was divine intervention by God. As I mentioned, I am a traditional Catholic. I am a strong supporter of Most Holy Family Monastery and their material. And I highly recommend anybody to view their material.
Third, the events in the Garden of Gethsemane, which included a prominent right ear wound, a miracle, and a betrayal, are repeatedly described in the Gospel as sad / sorrowful. In Matthew 26, we read that in the garden, Jesus began to be sorrowful and sad, and he said, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death." In Luke 22, we read that in the garden, the disciples were sleeping for sorrow or sadness. So in addition to a prominent right ear wound, a miracle, and a betrayal, the events in the garden were characterized by sadness. Here are Donald Trump's very last words before he was shot.
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Trump says, quote, if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened, end quote. And then he's shot, with God intervening to save him. Trump's last reference was to something that's really sad. That's not just a coincidence in our view. It's another connection to the Garden of Gethsemane. In fact, this is an official sign of the Butler Farm Show, where the Trump rally and assassination attempt occurred. The official sign is surrounded by a garden. Further, the Butler Farm Show features gardeners and food produced in gardens. Moreover, in Matthew 26:46, we read that Jesus' last words immediately before he was betrayed were, quote, look, my betrayer is at hand, end quote. The Greek word idou means look or behold. Well, after referring to what's really sad, Trump's very last words before he was shot were,
if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened.
He says, quote, take a look at what happened, end quote. In fact, in this section of his speech right before he was shot, Trump repeatedly says, look. That's another connection to the Garden of Gethsemane. Also, in the garden, Jesus had blood coming from his head, and Matthew 26:39 says that he fell on his face. This is a picture of Trump having fallen on his face and bloodied during the shooting. It's also interesting that the really sad thing to which Trump referred just before he was shot was a chart about the astounding amount of illegal immigration that has been occurring.
We took over, and look what happened to our country. Probably 20 million people. And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old, and if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened.
That includes countless dangerous, violent, and lawless people, and enemies of the country pouring into it. Note, we're not saying that everyone who has entered the country without permission is dangerous or violent or an enemy, but the millions of non-Americans who have entered the country illegally constitutes a de facto invasion. It will fundamentally change, if not destroy, America.
People who live at the southern border made the drive to Austin this week to voice their concerns to state lawmakers. The Senate Committee for Border Security is considering a number of bills meant to curb the flow of illegal immigration.
It's like a war zone in Van Horn. People, you can't even go out unless you're armed.
Texans who live along the southern border voicing their anger and frustration at the state capitol.
They are scared when they walk their dogs. They are fearful to sit on their porches. They are constantly looking around for illegals.
8 million, folks. 8 million. Basically larger than the population of most of America's biggest cities. 8 million. 8 million. If 0.0001% of them are terrorists or criminals, ladies and gentlemen, we got ourselves a big problem. And man, that's being generous. It's not like the Chinese Communist Party or anything would possibly be setting up a system to get illegals and sneak them into the country. Oh, look, they are! Chinese cyber police agent runs an online network helping illegal immigrants flood into the United States.
CBP data shows that over 30,000 Chinese migrants have entered California since October. That is an 8,600% increase since fiscal year 2021. Florida Congressman Greg Stubbe joins me now. Congressman, first, your reaction to that absolutely astounding figure.
Yeah, China's the number one national security threat to the United States. It would not be surprising that your enemies are going to look to ways to thwart your defenses. Why not send 30,000 people, military-age males, operatives into the United States? Because they all know, the entire world knows, that our border is wide open. You add that onto the 20,000 that have come in since Joe Biden's been president, it's over 50,000 Chinese Communist Party individuals that are in our country.
It makes sense that just before he was shot, Trump referred to that invasion, which is a monumental betrayal of America by the illegitimate leaders in Washington. Before proceeding, we should note that we strongly disagree with a number of things that Trump does and supports, both morally and in some cases with regard to foreign policy. We've been very critical of him in those areas. However, as flawed as he is, he's not a globalist conspirator. He's the major political figure who arguably represents the last obstacle to the complete takeover of America and the free world by illegitimate leftists, communists, and globalists.
And I will never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency.
That's why the deep state and the conspirators are so opposed to him gaining power. It's why they are currently trying to imprison him and politically prosecuting his supporters.
But let us begin with that late night indictment of Donald Trump, this time in Georgia, over alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election in that state. Among the 19 people charged alongside Trump, his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, former chief of staff, Mark Meadows,
this,
as well.
This, by the way, the fourth criminal case facing the former president and current GOP frontrunner, alongside a trial in New York over hush money payments, the Florida case over federal documents, and another recently revealed case over election interference.
Let's talk about some facts here. I am the first senior White House advisor in the history of our republic that has ever been charged with this alleged crime. And I say alleged because for hundreds of years, this has not been a crime, and for 50 years, the Department of Justice has maintained the principle of absolute testimonial immunity. And it was only with my case that somehow that has changed.
Now there has been an audacious attempt on his life in broad daylight because they are desperate to keep him from regaining power. The astounding opposition to Trump on the left and from the deep state represents a diabolical opposition to what remains of freedom, conservatism, and law and order in America and much of the world. We explained this in our videos called America's Fall to Communism and Why the Left Rages Against Trump and for Lawlessness. Those who claim that there's no difference between someone like Trump and the illegitimate regime currently occupying Washington are quite wrong. Consider the overturning of Roe v. Wade as just one example of the profound difference.
And last year, those justices ruled to end Roe v. Wade, and now...
The reason that this betrayal of America is significant enough in God's view that he would allow it to be signified by this remarkable series of events is threefold. One, America has been the most free major country in the world in recent history, and therefore, despite its many problems, it's the greatest obstacle to world communism and to the complete globalist takeover of the world. Two, during the past few hundred years, America has had tremendous success and a special role in propagating the true Catholic faith. And three, America has played the leading role in preserving the true Catholic faith during the current great apostasy. The timing of this assassination attempt also supports the conclusion that it was an inside job betrayal carried out by the deep state. It occurred just prior to the Republican National Convention and just before Trump named his vice presidential candidate. By killing Trump before he had named his potential replacement, the deep state intended to throw the Republicans into chaos with no clear person to fill Trump's spot. It's also interesting that the alleged shooter was named Crooks, and the supposed head of the Secret Service was named Cheadle. It's also interesting that George Washington, before he became the first president of the United States, quote, narrowly escaped death when a Native American shot at him from close range. That occurred only about 14 miles southwest of Butler, Pennsylvania. Now, Donald Trump, possibly the final president of the United States, has narrowly escaped death in the same area. We believe that the deep state had planned to kill Trump and then carry out a series of domestic, quote, terror attacks, which would be blamed on Trump supporters or conservatives who were supposedly retaliating. They would then use this narrative to further crack down on conservatives, eliminate their rights, or imprison them. For many years, the deep state has promoted propaganda which claims that the real threat to the country is to be found among conservative American citizens and right-wingers. Following this failed attempt to kill Trump, it's probable that they still plan to carry out, quote, domestic terror attacks and blame them on conservatives or Trump supporters for supposed retaliation. They can then use this false narrative to divert attention from the brazen assassination attempt against Trump, throw the country into chaos, and further crack down on, quote, right-wingers. In a nutshell, the reason that the events of July 13th strikingly correspond to aspects of what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane is that just as Jesus was betrayed and handed over to death in the garden, America has been betrayed and handed over to death by an illegitimate regime in Washington, a de facto invasion of the country, and other things. God has allowed this betrayal as a punishment for the sins of the people, especially for sexual sins and sexual immorality, as we've mentioned in various videos. So while we're happy that Trump survived and that God intervened to save his life, In our view, this event overall signifies something alarming for America. The inside job assassination attempt on Trump and the remarkable events that surrounded it was, in my view, a striking sign God gave to America that the country has been betrayed and is on the brink of death. That's why I believe it corresponded in various striking and undeniable ways to events in the Garden. In July of 2024, America's life as a nation is hanging by a thread. This is also evident from many things that have occurred in the country in the past few years. Jesus described his betrayal in the Garden as the hour of the power of darkness. I believe we are experiencing the great hour of darkness in America. When you consider all of the moral evils occurring in the country combined with the betrayal of the country by an illegitimate regime. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, after having been betrayed and laying down his life by his own power, of course rose again. Will America, which is currently on the brink of death, be completely extinguished? Or will it continue in some new form? Will it be plunged into civil war and chaos and break apart? Will it be entangled in a devastating war with a foreign country? Or after this betrayal and having reached the brink of death, will America have a brief resurgence? I think we'll know pretty soon, but I believe that God allowed this remarkable series of events to occur in front of the world, corresponding to aspects of the betrayal in the Garden, precisely to signal that the situation is extremely dire. God cares deeply about America, and this is why the destruction and betrayal of the country, which is connected to the deplorable moral state of the people in general, is exceedingly sad.
If you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened.
The current state of America is connected to the events of the Great Apostasy and the overall current state of the world. For an explanation of what's happening in Rome now and what to do, see our website, VaticanCatholic.com. To be a true Christian and be saved, one must be a traditional Catholic, as our material explains.